The Lord we serve is a great God. He wants what's best for us. And I think most of our marriage problems are spiritual problems. We just try to gut it out on ourselves without saying, Lord, I need your help. Holy Spirit, help me, guide me. Let me say the things that I need to say.
Dr. Kevin Lehman joins us today on Focus on the Family, sharing his tips about having a lifetime romance with your spouse. Your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
Hey, John, we have an audience with us today in the studio. So I want to ask all the guests, there's probably 10 or 12 people around us, what do you think the record is for the longest marriage, the world's longest marriage? Anybody? Just yell it out.
Maybe 75 years.
75. Anybody else?
82.
82. That's a good guess. Anybody? Okay. 87 years. Think of that. 87 wow. years. Zelmyra and Herbert Fisher are the record holders. They got married in 1924 and stayed married until Herbert passed away in 2011 at the age of 105.
That is incredible. I understand they were believers. We'll get to ask them some of their secrets when we get to heaven.
Yeah, that's the place we'll need to ask that. But I love it. I think the question all of us have is, how can we be like the Fishers? What did they do well, right? So I think we're going to dig into that today with one of marriage's best counselors and a prolific author, Dr. Kevin Lehman.
He is internationally known as a psychologist and a speaker, always a popular guest here at Focus on the Family, and has been married to his wife, Sandy, for over 50 years?
53 years in a row.
Well, Kevin's, you're only halfway there, man. Yeah.
Kevin's newest book is called The Intimate Connection, Secrets to a Lifelong Romance. And Jim, we're also honored to have your better half here as well.
Now, this could be a little risky, but I did invite Jean to join us, and I thought three dudes sitting here talking about marriage and what women think, we need a woman here to represent the better half. So Jean has joined us. Jean, it's great to have you here.
Well, thank you. It's always great to be here.
Kevin, good to have you back.
Hey, thank you. You know, us men are always smart to listen to women. That's been a tip across the board.
Isn't listen that the first wives. Rule of marriage? Men, listen to your wives.
Oh,
they're
like
closer
that.
To life than we are.
That's for sure. Well, let's start with the big question. With all your years of experience, Kevin, as a marriage and family psychologist, what would you say is the number one secret of successful marriages?
Well, I got to tell you this. When they asked me to do this book, I had a conversation with Mrs. Uppington, my bride. Her real name is Sandy, but my nickname for her is Mrs. Uppington because she's the classy one of the two of us. And I said, honey, are we happily married? And she said, you're very happily married. And so when I heard that, I said, okay, I'll do that book. But it's really pretty simple. Is, you know, God gave us marriage as an opportunity to serve one another. That word serve is a little touchy these days in some circles. And I think basically it gets down to becoming an expert or really good at just knowing what your husband's needs are or what your wife's needs are and servicing her, being a servant. And again, talk to a group of women. I talk to women groups all the time, and I say servant, and man, the ears are back. They're looking at you funny. But I got news for you. That's what marriage is. It's being a servant to one another.
Well, in your book, The Intimate Connection, you mention this context of have a lifestyle of intimacy. What does that mean?
Well, that's something you work toward. I'd love to tell you that most couples in the church have an intimate marriage, but my observation is they have a his and her marriage. They have the married single's lifestyle. The married single's lifestyle.
What is that?
Well, they're married, but you wouldn't know it because so many of the things they do are reminiscent of the single lifestyle.
So it's kind of like a roommate.
In many ways. And women are the relational gurus of our society. They're like that little rabbit that keeps going. They hug anything that moves. They're wordsmiths. And so many times it's just easy with all the stress on couples today, so many men and women who have young children are in the workplace. I shake my head sometimes. I say, how do these young couples do it? It's just tough to find time where we can be together and share.
Well, and you say one of the biggest reasons couples feel disconnected is because they don't understand each other. Now, I'm sure that's not happening in your marriage after 53 years to Mrs. Uppington. But, I mean, what's at the root of that? We don't understand each other? Is that the problem?
They're so weird, Jim.
Okay, you know Gene's loading up here, man. Just keep going. It's like digging your own pot there, your hole.
Just hear me out for a second, then you can harpoon me. They go potty in groups of 6, 8, 10, 12. It's not uncommon for a woman to say, I'm going potty. Anyone want to come along? It's a social event.
Men do scratch their head at that one.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a social event.
They talk and talk. And women, you know, men like sort of the USA Today version. Because most of us as men like to be problem solvers.
Yes.
You know, and my plea to women, because they tell me my husband doesn't talk. Your husband will talk, but you have to know how to approach this dude, okay? If this is late-breaking news for you, if you're driving, hang on to the wheel. Us men, across the board, now let me give you a disclaimer. About 15% of marriages are not represented, what I'm about to tell you. But we men, across the board, hate your questions. We don't like the Y word. We get defensive. If you want your husband to talk to you, trust me on this. Honey, could I ask your opinion about something? There's not a man in this building that doesn't have an opinion. I'm not saying it's a good opinion or a right opinion. I'm just saying we got an opinion.
That's good.
Now, that's a good way to stage it. All right, Gene, this is the dangerous part. You have a story from our marriage that illustrates the differences between men and women. I seem to remember it had something to do with your birthday. This is going to be painful. Go ahead. Hit me.
Well, no, there was one year that I think we had spent more money than we usually do. And I remember telling you, Jim, I don't want you to buy me a gift for my birthday.
Now, can I translate that?
Yes.
I'm good. We don't need to do anything for your birthday.
Yes.
Liar.
Well, that's the problem. I said, please don't buy me a gift. Yeah. So my birthday comes.
This is bad. I'm so sorry. You do forgive me?
Yes, I do forgive you. And they didn't do anything.
They being me and the boys.
Right. There was no burnt breakfast in bed from the boys, and there were no handmade cards from the boys. Jim heard me telling him. He thought I was saying, don't do anything.
Well, what I heard was, you got the day off.
You know, you're bringing up guilt feelings of me, and I always say women are the guilt gatherers of life, but your story, Gene, painfully reminds me, the guy that's written a lot of books on marriage and family, I bought my dear sweet bride, I can't remember if it was a birthday present or an anniversary present, but it was this is just embarrassing to say, a four-place toaster.
That's awesome. Not two, but four.
Yeah, I love a sliced toaster.
That's incredible.
I think about that now and I say, Lehman, you're dumb as a rock. I mean, why
did it have
you
a bagel set?
Do that. It was as good a toaster as you could find. But
and
we
you've
do
written
stupid
the books.
Things. But this communication thing with women, I got to tell you a story about Mrs. Uppington, because I had to take Lauren, our youngest daughter. By the way, Lauren was a little surprised. If you don't know the Lehman history, we had the shocker at 42 and the surprise at 48. And
wow.
I had to take Lauren to the pediatric dentist. He was about 3'6" tall, little guy. And I don't know what a pediatric dentist does, tell you the truth, except work on little kids' teeth, I guess. But anyway, I said, honey, I'm late. I got to get there. Tell me. I got to know where I'm going. She said, you can't miss it. You can't miss it. Now, listen to this. She said, there's flowers in the front of the building, but that's not the entrance. You got to go around the side entrance. You can't miss it. Now, Tucson, Arizona, where I live, is about a million people in the metropolitan area. Okay, then, I'll go now, and I'll start looking for flowers. Just give me the address. Give me the cross streets. But honest to Pete, that was her response.
You can't miss it. Did you get lost?
No, I finally got the address out of her, but, I mean,
I think I could have found it.
That's the point. Kevin, you say true intimacy in marriage starts with recognizing each other's needs. That's what you're expressing. Yeah. So let's dig into it. First, for us husbands, identify the basic needs of women and what they are. And Gene, you're going to hold them accountable, right?
Absolutely.
Because you're the one at the table representing women.
Well, yeah.
So you tell if he's right on or not. Oh, yeah. So, well, Dr. Lehman, what are these needs that women have?
Well, again, and just notice, I think God was the original humorist when he came up with this one, the two shall become one, because it's so, we're so different. Yes. Number one for women, I think, is affection. It's huge in a woman's life. Number two is communication. Now, every man listening, what are we basically as men not great at? Number one is affection. So it's affection, communication, commitment to the family. That's basically what it is for women. And men are completely different. They want to feel needed, wanted, and
respected, appreciated.
Yeah, and fulfilled, and that includes the S word, yeah. Sexual. They want that wife to pursue that chubby body that's gained 14 pounds since you walked down the aisle, and that's just the reality of how. Don't write me a nasty letter. That's God's plan. That's how He made us. Mm-hmm. Very different.
Well, Gene, let's get to another story. I don't know why we've done this, but you identify closely with the need for good communication, like Kevin's talking about. Explain that need where you and I have, you know, maybe played that out in our marriage. Communication.
Well, yes. I was a night person, a little less of one now, but you are, and always
totally
have been
morning.
A morning person.
Totally.
And we would go to bed, and I am ready to upload all the data that has happened in my day. And,
nails on a chalkboard.
And this and that, and tell me about my girlfriends,
oh
my goodness,
and my family.
Please,
no,
and my,
no.
And...
I want to
That's
go to sleep.
When I want to talk about resolve, like our deep relational issues. It's when, the moment we put our heads on the pillows, and then later with kids, that's when I want to talk about the problems with the kids. Well, and Jim, I mean, you finally had to
gently say, "Do you know, Jane, when my head is hitting the pillow, I'm not totally with you." I mean, I go to sleep in like 3 minutes. It's amazing.
He does have some political leanings. That's very good, Jim.
Yeah.
Right. But it did take a while. That was probably way down the road of our marriage when I finally had the courage to say, I can't really hang with you here.
Well, but, and I, just in the last week, I mean, I really had to practice this. I wanted to talk to you about probably one of our sons.
Probably.
And I stopped myself because it's bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
And,
God bless
and
you.
I know. And also, you told me that if you start problem solving at night, at bedtime, then he can't go to sleep.
I can't unplug once I get into it.
And so, I mean, we had to talk about that, but you also thought...
Yeah. Okay, so the other thing, early in our marriage, we're probably year number three. I can remember specifically a moment where we're brushing our teeth in the morning together, and I'm chipper as can be because it's morning. This is the time God intended for man and woman to speak. I mean, this is it. This is all good. We're supercharged. I'm ready to take on the day for the Lord. And I noticed Jean's not responding to me. And I thought for a long time, I thought, why is she mad at me? I mean, I'm serious. How you doing? You sleep well? Nothing, not even a grunt. And I thought, she's so mad at me, she won't even respond to me.
Well, you married a very pretty woman, as did I, but I'll tell you, Mrs. Uppington in the morning, to put it bluntly, she's got issues. I mean, she does, and she's got this stuff she puts on her face. I don't know what it's called, but it's really, it looks to me, it looks like poppy seed dressing or something. But she puts it on her face, and it takes a while for the beauty to come forth. But I always kid people. I say, we're night and day different. I'm like Jim. I go to bed early. And now that I'm older, I mean, I'm drooling at 8:30. And she says,
you can make it to 8:30?
Yeah. She says, you can't go to bed. But I said, well, watch me. But I'm telling you, she's half raccoon. She's up till 2 o'clock reading books or some of her best friends. And I told John last night, we were visiting, and I said, about 2 o'clock, she goes out and tips over the garbage in the neighborhood, and then comes back to bed. But we're night and day different. I'm up early with a happy face. She doesn't like that.
So you need to talk about those things, though. And I so appreciate Jean, you know, working to figure that out, that
you
she can't bring
it.
Up a big
it's
problem.
It's a learning process.
Yeah.
Just like forgiveness is a learning process.
Yeah. Oh, and it's not a personal thing. If Jim falls asleep, it's not personal to Jean. It's just something that is, right?
So right.
This is Focus on the Family, and we are enjoying a conversation today with Dr. Kevin Lehman. And I think we're getting into some of the content, Jim, of his book, The Intimate Connection, Secrets to a Lifelong Romance.
Because of the humor of it all, let's quickly restate the three things that men need to know about wives. What are the core things they need? Say them again.
Yeah. You know, as a man, just a reminder, this is simple as ABC, affection. And affection takes all different forms. It's that little touch. It's that single rose. It's that little note you wrote and put a stamp on it, put it in the mail. It's all those little, it's that email that says, I can't wait to get home. And when you walk in the door, part of affection is, honey, what can I do to help? If you got little ankle biters around, I'm telling you, she sees you as the best reliever in the National League coming to help her. And when you sit down and do nothing, the anger can build and you're getting in trouble. So again, affection, communication, and that means you have to take time to do that. And then commitment to the family, being a good dad. She purrs like a kitten when you're a good dad, believe me.
Okay, now the opposite again, just to recap, what wives need to understand about helping the needs of her husband.
Yeah, ladies, I know you're busy. You push 6.5 hours to bring this little one to life, 8.5 for that middle child. That youngest, he just came out real quick. Okay, I get it. But you have to understand this man. And I know some of you say, Lehman, I have 4 children because my husband's the 4th one. That's not healthy. It's not good. He needs to be the husband. But you got to speak well of him, especially in front of other people. You have to understand he needs to be wanted and needed by you. That's physically and emotionally, and that leads to fulfillment. That's just the way it is.
No, that's really good. You have this analogy of the tea kettle. To talk about emotions, explain the tea kettle analogy.
Well, we tend to tuck, when life happens, little cheap shots, little something, you know, it's a little burr under the saddle, and, well, I'm not going to say anything about it, you know.
But I'm going to remember it.
It simmers, and then there's a trigger, and then it blows. And it's sort of like, I hate to use this analogy, but I think it's a good one. You have the flu, okay, and you say, man, oh, and you throw up, and you feel better because you throw up. But when you explode, and it's anger and it's venom, you've literally thrown up on your mate. Yeah, you feel better, but what have you done? Okay. And so it's really important that you, to quote my favorite, one of my favorite all-time movies, What About Bob? It's all about baby steps for some of us as men, baby steps. But It takes a while to understand this gift, this woman. Again, I say it with tongue in cheek, but they are weird. I took Sandy to New York with me recently, and there's Nine West Shoe Store. Now, ladies probably know what Nine West is.
Of course.
And she's in there 2 hours, Jean, and I was in there about 10 minutes, walked out, walked around, went back in, and made sure she was still with us, and she came out 2 hours later, and she doesn't have a shoe. And she says, we need to go to Soho. We need to go to Sam Edelman in Soho. And she's in Sam Edelman for an hour. And that's 3 hours looking at shoes, and I'm so glad I took her to New York with me. But when she came out, she had she wears a 9.5 narrow. How many men know what your shoe size of your wife is? 9.5
That's
narrow.
Good.
And she had 2 boxes of shoes with her, and it was like she had just struck the lottery or something. She was just beaming that she had these shoes. And so I say, you know what? She's happy, I'm happy.
There you go. That's good.
That's, right. Yeah. That's an old adage, isn't it? It
is. Listen, you outlined 5 things we need to know about feelings. What are those 5?
Well, thanks for the quiz. Number one, feelings aren't right or wrong. They're just your feelings, okay? And here's what I want people to really understand. When you share feelings, it draws you together. When you go down the judgment trail, now the defenses go up. That's 2 of 5.
So how do you do that? How do you differentiate between sharing your feelings and sharing judgment about the other person's feelings?
Well, with me, this is just for me. I got to sit on it a while. I really do. Because if I just follow my feelings, and there's another one. Everybody think about this. Just say we follow our feelings for the next 30 days together. Okay? I got news for you. We're going to be in the county jail together. You can't go through life and follow your feelings. Gentlemen, you see a good-looking chick walking down the street. Get in touch with your feelings. Now follow your feelings. You're going to jail. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. I know they got a little Christian fish on the back. That doesn't count in my book. But what do you feel like doing? You feel like putting them in the ditch. So you can't go through life. God gave us a brain. And, you know, I think when we get to problems in marriage, I really believe they're basically spiritual problems. I think so many of us brought so much baggage into marriage, and we try to do this on our own. And what I've learned, and look at me, I'm old. I mean, I've learned to say, Lord, come on, I need some teaching here. And that's where the Holy Spirit, everybody talks about the Holy Spirit led me to do this and led me to do that. The way I see it, the Holy Spirit's a helper. And he helps you to move forward. So I need a little time to sift through that.
No, that's good. One of the, I thought, good tools that you talk about in the book, The Intimate Connection, is the 3-1-1 rule. Gene and I actually mentioned that, and we're going to try to implement that in our communication. What is it?
Real quickly. I mean, you can do it 2 minutes. I call it 3-1-1, but take 3 minutes, and there's an issue, okay? So you're going to face each other. I mean, if you're rich and have a jacuzzi, more power to you. But for the rest of us, just hold hands. Eyeball to eyeball, the rules are one person speaks for 3 minutes. Then the next person gets 60 seconds to sort of clarify what they heard. Then that next person gets a minute to say, well, no, that's not exactly what I meant. Here's what, it's real simple. And it helps you get the feelings out. I love the example of a balloon. You blow air into a balloon. Remember when you were a kid, you blow it, and sometimes it snapped in your face? Well, you remember when you blew it and then you took the neck of it and you made that terrible noise to bother your parents or your brother or your sister?
Over and over and over
again.
But
there's a good analogy there that sometimes when that stuff comes out in communication, it's not easy to listen to because your mate's telling you something that you really need to hear. But notice that the balloon goes down and what's the odds of it bursting into a huge thing? Very little, because you've let some air out. So if that'll help people with that 3-1-1 concept, the point is, you need to make time to talk.
Yeah. The other four, I mean, this is really number 2 of the 5, is communication. Pick it up from there because we didn't get all 5.
So again, reminders, you have a right to express your feelings, okay?
Yep.
And a lot of us were brought up in homes where when we tried to share our feelings, let's face it, we got shot down. Mm-hmm. And then when you ask your mate, why do you feel that way? You heard what I said earlier. I mean, us men hate the Y word. So when you say, why do you feel that way? You're just being demeaning to your mate. So saying things like, honey, tell me more about that. I want to understand more about how you feel. And women are so sensitive to the feeling part that when you express your feelings, again, if you want to turn your wife on, listen to your wife. If you want to turn your wife on, gentlemen, pray audibly together. Be the one to say, honey, let's pray, and grab her hand. And I'm telling you, she'll purr like a kitten. What I'm saying is there's a connection between praying with your wife and your sex life. And I wrote the book Sheep Music, which is a pretty straightforward book. I think it's the most best-selling book written from a Christian perspective. But that's one of the things that you have to understand, that the spiritual and the physical in the emotional all come together.
Well, and you're talking about intimacy in the broadest terms, right?
Yes.
Emotional, spiritual, and physical intimacy.
Right.
And that's what you achieve when all three are being done in the home.
We always enjoy having Dr. Kevin Lehman with us in the studio, and this was a special occasion for a number of people to join us in the studio. And they really brought some energy, and we hope the conversation has given you some great ideas for increasing intimacy in your marriage. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for joining us today for Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller.
Dr. Kevin Lehman has once again delivered a message that oozes with truth and incredible wisdom. Although Kevin's stories are always funny, they pack a punch because we can totally relate, and then we glean from the tips and ideas on how we can do marriage better. I'm really looking forward to hearing more from Kevin on tomorrow's program, and I hope you'll join us for that. If you want to listen again to today's broadcast, you'll find it on our website, Facebook, or podcast. The Intimate Connection is Kevin's book, and in it he explores key secrets to the love life couples crave. Lehman's time-tested strategies will create the kind of exciting intimacy, mutual respect, and fulfilling communication that will keep husbands and wives in each other's arms for a lifetime. You'll find The Intimate Connection online at safamily.co.za or give us a call on 031-716-3300. And then I do hope you can join us for Focus Live at 5, where we're hearing from some of our favorite authors, speakers, and experts every Tuesday and Thursday at 5 p.m. on Facebook Live. You can join us on our Facebook page for that. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Graham Schnell, inviting you to join us for the conclusion of our program with Kevin Lehman tomorrow, when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.